How do you do? Imagine, if you can, being 6 years old and waking up to discover that your mother is gone. She's abandoned you. But that kind of trauma is like death for a child. It was for the woman in this story who grew up filled with hatred and bitterness, thinking no one loved her, no one could be trusted. Well, she was wrong about that, as she learned when her heart and mind and life were unshackled. Bringing hope to a despairing world, this is Unshackled. True life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. What a difference a hot meal, a shower, and a change of clothes, and a clean bunk can make in the life of a person living on the streets. Well, all that kindness is provided by people who give what they can to keep the porch light burning at the old lighthouse. As many as 800 men, women, and children receive shelter free at the mission. Free as well are the medical and dental care at the Pacific Garden Mission. But the most important gift of all is new life that counselors and pastors share with everyone who comes through the doors that never close. In that end, new life is all that matters because it changes everything. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2607 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
What happened?
You had an accident. Try not to move.
Aaron, where's my son?
Don't worry. They took him to the hospital already.
Oh, my eye.
The ambulance is coming.
Ma'am, can you tell me your name?
Unhapak Selik.
Is there someone on post we can call?
Yes, my husband, Mike. Oh, I'm cold. Very cold.
I'll get you a blanket, ma'am.
Here. Put your head in my lap.
I see two blackbirds.
Yes. Yes, there are two birds up there in that tree.
Oh, now there's only one. I'm dying.
The woman in our story was born and raised in Korea, but was living in the United States, married to an American soldier when her car ran off the road. Hers had been a childhood full of rejection and pain. But that heartache would pale in comparison to the ordeal that lay ahead. We'll let her tell you how joy was born from that trial in this true story of Unhapak Selik, right now on Unshackled.
My name is Unhae. Many Korean women lost their husbands during the war and could not support themselves, so it was common for one man to have two wives, like my father. He already had a wife and a child when he took my mother as a common-law wife, and she already had children by a husband who was a POW. Then my three brothers and I were born to this unregistered marriage. The shock of finding my mother gone one morning was traumatic. My father took us to live with his legal family.
I knew she was good for nothing, dumping her kids on me like that.
They're my children, too.
We don't have enough room for them.
They can't share one room.
They don't ever come before our children.
No, of course not.
And I expect them to help me with work around here.
You take care of it. Now I have to get back to base.
Hey, get in here and wash these dishes.
I withdrew from the people around me and lived in a fantasy. My father was remote and didn't notice that my stepmother was hateful, making me do housework, cooking, and errands. She never gave me money for supplies at school, so I could not join activities like basketball, though I was good enough to make the team. My dad worked on the U.S. Army base, so we were not poor, but my stepmother withheld tuition, so I was forced to kneel outside the classroom as punishment for late payments. Mother learned of my elementary school graduation and came to it, but I didn't get to see her.
Your mother tried to sneak into ceremony today.
She did?
Enough of that woman showing her face around here.
I did
didn't see her.
Of course not. I fix her. I tell them to keep her out.
Why can't I see her? She's my mother.
The mother. She just sneak away and leave you.
Year by year, my heart hardened like a rock, and my rage grew internally. My younger brother left home and lived on the streets, so I had none of my family with me. I felt worthless, good for nothing. But I did have a few friends at school.
Oh, hey, are you going on school trip next week?
I can't. My stepmother won't give me the money.
Oh, tell your father what she's doing.
No.
You should tell him. She treats you very badly.
I don't tell him anything.
Why not?
He doesn't care. Someday I'll leave like my brothers.
Why don't you leave now? Go with me to Seoul. I know of a place that offers jobs.
I don't have any money.
I have enough for both of us.
The bus ride to Seoul took about 2 hours. We found the job shop, and my friend was hired right away as a housemaid. As I waited for my interview, I overheard them talking about sending me to some kind of factory, and I became frightened. What if they sold me into prostitution? Terrified, I ran through the pouring rain back to the bus station.
Please, can you help me get home?
Where is home?
Tong Du Chong.
Who are you, and what you doing in Seoul?
I came here with a friend to look for work, but I was afraid the job shop would sell me into prostitution. I saw a TV program about that one. I want to go back home, but I don't have any money.
I will go with you on bus to closest stop to your town, and we call your family from there.
When I got home, my father beat me until I fainted. Ironically, that was the first time I felt my dad really cared about me. I didn't know enough to thank God for getting me home safely. Instead, I went through a deep depression. Sometimes I would faint from not eating. Sometimes I would cut myself. Always I felt worthless because my own mother didn't want me. I didn't see her again until I graduated from high school. It was then that I learned that she had made attempts to see me, but my stepmother hindered her visits. My brothers and I lived with mother when she moved to our town, but she was like a stranger to me. I felt no emotional attachment to her at all. My thoughts were completely self-centered to work hard and succeed in life. Mother had a bad heart, though, and she was dying 5 years later when I met Mike. He was in the U.S. Army stationed in Korea.
Oh, I love to hear you laugh one day.
I laugh mostly when I'm with you. All my life I cry more than I laugh, but you changed that.
Oh, why didn't I meet you years ago?
But at least we're together now, Mike.
But I have to rotate back to the States in a few months.
Don't talk about that.
You're right. I'll just savor every minute with you.
I feel the same way, Mike. I never knew what it was like to be loved until I met you. My mother died in the spring of 1983, and my father didn't even come to her funeral. Mike sent for me the following year, and we were married in a Korean church in Indianapolis. We began attending that church so I could have Korean friends and socialize. Selfish reasons, but I said I was a Christian since I went to church. I didn't care if I never went back to Korea, but in 1985, Mike was again stationed there.
Do you like being home again, Eun-hae?
I like having Korean food plentiful, but home is with you, Mike.
Well, at least you'll be close to your family.
My family is not close to me, Mike.
I thought, well, since your stepmother died, your dad would be closer to you.
He was never close to me or my brothers. Always distant. That's the way he is. I'm used to it now.
Hey, you want to visit the church you grew up in?
We never went to church. My stepmother was Buddhist, and my father, I don't know. He never talked about it.
How did you learn so much about Christianity?
Oh, I went to a mission school.
So do you want to attend a church here?
No. I have friends here and plenty of ways to socialize. Mike was like a god to me, and I thought my life was perfect. In 1987, I joined the U.S. Army in Seoul and went to the States for basic and occupational training. I was gone 5.5 months. When I returned to Korea, I discovered that my world would never be the same again.
I'm sorry, Eun-hae.
You're sorry? That's all you can say?
I never meant to hurt you.
How could you do something like that? I thought you loved me, but you're just like an animal.
She didn't mean anything to me. You've got to believe that.
I'll never trust you again.
Oh, honey,
never.
Please. Please, honey.
Get away from me, you betrayed me.
Eun-hae, please, forgive me.
Never, never, never.
Eun-hae had much to learn about forgiveness, as she will tell us in just a moment. Want to discover the real Christmas spirit? Give something to someone who has nothing, the homeless. At Pacific Garden Mission, we are preparing Christmas dinner for hundreds of men, women, and children, and we'd like to give each one a present, something new. They have so many needs that shopping will be easy, any size, any color. For men, socks, underwear, gloves, a shirt or slacks, whatever you can manage. Each person is overjoyed to receive a present. Some have never had a gift. Children need clothing, a book, or a toy. For women, toiletries, stockings, a warm hat or gloves, maybe a blouse or sweater. If you cannot shop, send a donation and our staff will buy an appropriate present. Your gift could help some lost soul to understand God's love for us in giving us the gift of new life through Christ, something we can never earn or deserve. So send your Christmas present to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. For more information, email us at unshackled@pgm.org.
I thought about divorcing Mike for his unfaithfulness, but I didn't want to be a loser like my mother, who walked out on us. Mike was the first one I really loved with my heart, so my lips spoke forgiveness, but my heart didn't. And feelings of bitterness and betrayal poisoned our marriage. He was not prepared for my response to his request about his children from a failed marriage.
Eun-hae, I'd like to bring my children here during their summer vacation.
For how long?
A month. Is that okay with you?
Yes, of course. Why not have them stay the whole summer?
Well, you don't understand their mother.
Don't you ever say like that to me again! If you want me to understand your children's mother, you make me a mother! I would never understand her because I've never been a mother!
I didn't mean to upset you, honey. It's not what I meant.
Oh, I know what you mean. It's you who don't understand me, Michael!
I was just being hysterical. I didn't even want to have a baby because of my own childhood. But Mike was afraid of losing me, so he reversed the vasectomy he'd gotten years earlier. A few months later, we were in for a surprise.
Eun-hae, what is it?
Mike, I'm pregnant. I can't believe it.
You're sure?
The nurse said so. 100% for sure.
That's wonderful. Fantastic. Oh, honey, it was all worth it.
Oh, I had to run over here and tell you the good news.
This is unbelievable. The doctors gave us only a 5% chance and it worked.
I'm so thankful to you for going through with that surgery. I didn't think it would help.
I had to try. I didn't want to lose you, honey.
Oh, you can never lose me. But to tell you the truth, I'm worried about being a mother.
Oh.
I grew up without mine, you know.
You'll do just fine, honey. You will be a great mother.
Yeah, I think I should get out of the army, don't you? A mother should be with her child.
Yes, I agree.
I was sick almost the whole 9 months, but our son was born healthy on February 9th, 1990. We named him Aaron, our miracle baby. And the biggest miracle of all was that I learned to love because of him. When he was about 4 months old, We moved back to the U.S. Mike was in the Gulf War, and then he came home to us in Savannah, Georgia. Life was so good. We went to church regularly, but only because I wanted to socialize. On December 26, 1991, I was taking Aaron for his nap ride when the car ran off the road into the ditch and hit a concrete wall. I blacked out and awoke to find they had rushed our son to the hospital ahead of me. My right eye was injured and bleeding, so the ambulance took me to the emergency room, too. As I waited for treatment, Mike arrived.
Hey, are you all right?
Yes, I think so. Oh, Mike, have you seen Aaron?
Yes, just now. Honey, he didn't make it.
What?
He's gone.
Oh, no. Oh, no, my baby. Oh, my baby's gone. Oh, how can it be? Oh, Michael, how can it be? My prideful heart was broken in a million pieces. Our 22-month-old son was gone. A nurse wheeled his little body into my room, and I called his name, but he didn't respond. Because of my injury, the tears that fell onto his face were blood red. As I looked at him, I suddenly understood the awesome power of God over life and death. Inwardly, I cried, "Oh, God, please help me. I don't know anything anymore. I have no power. I am nothing. I have no control over anything. I cannot go on with life anymore. I am lost. I give up. I know you are real. You are in control of all things. Please help me." My encounter with the living God that day would change my life forever.
Where are you going so early?
I told you, to a 100-day prayer and Bible study at Kyonji's house.
You're going to a Bible study for 100 days in a row at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Every day but Sunday.
You're really into this, aren't you?
I can't seem to learn enough about God's Word, Mike. He spoke to my heart so much the day Aaron died. I know he's real now. While I was waiting for the ambulance, I felt such peace, as if God was saying, "Do not be anxious. Do not fear." And then when I was alone in front of Aaron's little coffin, God poured out so much love for me. God loved our boy more than we did. And I suddenly understood how his heart was broken when he gave his only son to die for us. I never dreamed God would meet me in such a personal way. He really loves us, Mike. I have to live for him. I can't help it.
I'm worried about you, honey. You've gone overboard.
You should be glad, Mike. Before, I was dead inside. Now I'm alive. Really alive. I must go now. I must go or I'll be late. My husband was not the only one who thought I went overboard on God after Aaron's death. My father had retired and remarried to a lady named Kang. Every month I called them in Korea, even though international phone calls were expensive. Dad, it's Unhe. How are you?
Fine. You're still in Savannah?
Yes. We'd like to come and visit you in Korea, maybe in a year or two.
That okay. You sound so happy, Unhe.
I am, Dad. Jesus filled my heart with joy.
Well, that is good, I guess.
Without Christ, I would have tried to end my life after Aaron died. But God used his death to help me understand the gospel message.
I don't understand, Unhe.
Maybe I can explain better when I see you. They thought I was mentally unstable because of Aaron's death, But God has given me such love for others and a strong desire for my family to know Christ personally that all I wanted was to share Christ. I realized that my own husband was not saved and I needed to make some changes. Mike?
What is it?
I think we should switch to the English-speaking church from now on.
I'm okay with the Korean church, honey.
But you don't speak Korean, so you don't know what the pastor is saying.
I don't mind. I'm content to be with you.
Oh, please, honey. Going to church is not enough to get you into heaven. You have to confess that you're a sinner. Ask God's forgiveness and accept Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord.
I am not a sinner, Eunhae. I am a good man. I don't do anything that hurts anybody.
You don't understand, Mike. That's why you need to hear the sermon in English. Please, honey, go with me. We can both understand the English sermon.
All right. But it's pointless.
By the next summer, God's word had revealed the unforgiveness I had harbored for years toward my husband for his infidelity. I was at work when the truth set me free, and as soon as I got home, I confessed it and asked Mike's forgiveness.
But you told me years ago that you forgave me.
I know, but in my heart, I didn't forgive you. And today, God made me face the truth. I'm saved now, and I have to obey when God reveals sin in my heart. Somewhere in the Gospels, I read that we must forgive others or God won't forgive us, and I need his forgiveness.
You deceived me.
God revealed it to me, Mike. I deceived myself, too. Please forgive me.
This is too much. How do I know you mean it now?
Because I'm asking your forgiveness. God wants us to speak the truth in love. Surely you can see the difference Jesus has made in my life. Here it is. Matthew chapter 18. Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times?
And Jesus said no until 70 times 7. I know that verse.
But then he goes on to describe a man who owes a big debt, and the master forgives him, and that same man won't forgive someone else's little debt. It's the last verse that gets me. Listen to this. And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Two months later, in 1993, Mike surrendered his life to Jesus. In 1995, I went back to Korea to visit my family. Dad's marriage by then was strained.
You look so much better than I expect, Oni.
Not like a crazy person, huh?
Not like a crazy person at all.
I came to share Jesus, the goodness of the Lord, with you.
We need something. I don't know what to do. Your father, he has gambled away everything. He even pledged our house as security for one of his gambling debts.
Oh, he needs the Lord, Kang. Jesus will take away that addiction.
Talk to him. We have to do something or we lose everything.
I will talk to him. That's why I'm here.
You come here to preach to me?
I came because I love you, Dad, and I want to explain the gospel to you. Jesus will change your life completely. I know. I used to be a bitter woman because Mother abandoned me. I didn't trust anyone, but God's love changed my heart.
I have to admit, you're different.
God created us to have a personal relationship with him, but sin gets in the way. God sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins because there was no other way for us to have forgiveness. The penalty for sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life.
I'm not an evil man, Oni.
God says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Only, this is not like you.
I know, Dad. Jesus changed me. When you receive Christ, his spirit lives in you. He gives you a completely new life, and it's wonderful, beyond belief.
Glad to see that you're not really crazy, just crazy about Jesus.
Through letters and phone calls, I had witnessed to my dad for nearly 4 years when I went to Korea in 1995. I prayed so much for him and my brothers. Dad was never one to share his inner feelings. So I was surprised later that year when I made my monthly international phone call.
Ole, I'm born again.
You are? Oh, Dad, that's wonderful.
You can't say that again. God's love has overwhelmed me.
I've been praying so much for you and my brothers.
If not for God, I would have been dead long time ago. Life had no meaning for me. I guess that may be why I gamble, but all that finished now.
Oh, praise God.
I quit smoke, too. Kang can't believe all changes.
I'm praying for her, too.
I never said anything, but I was broken heart when your mother left me with 4 young children. I was so stunned. I never want to see her again.
I understand, Dad.
Do you?
Yes.
That has to be the Lord.
Yes, Dad. It's the Lord. Seeing the change in Dad, his wife soon professed faith in Christ. We are all praying for other family members. Mike is now in seminary, and I work as well, go to Bible classes whenever I can. Please listen to me. Jesus will set you free. God can heal your marriage, your life, whatever is broken. So turn to him now.
There is no greater, closer friend than the Lord Jesus Christ. God made the way of salvation easy for us, but narrow. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 describe how you can be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2607. Heard in the true story of Unhei Pak Selleck were Judith Easton, Thomas McElroy, Belinda Bremner, Trish Elliott, and Chuck McLennan. Original music, Ralph Colburn, sound, Nick Aloisio, engineer Ed Webb, script, Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Discouraged? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.